everyone, and welcome back to Practically Zero Waste, a podcast for making zero waste living as practical as possible. If you're new here, welcome. And if you're old here, welcome back. Happy last week of Plastic Free July. There's still a chance to enter for the final round of Eco Bingo coming up this week, so go, go, go and try something new. The thing that you've been putting off trying for the whole month, it'll be worth it to take that leap and go for it. Last week's winner will be announced at the end of the episode, so stay tuned. And today I had a great time chatting with Tessa Clark, founder of the Olio app, the world's first neighbor-to-neighbor food sharing app. We talk preventing food waste and other household items going to landfill, we talk food insecurity and reducing the stigma associated with food poverty, and the work that we can do on an individual scale to end world hunger. It's a great conversation and lots of ways to take action, so let's dive in.
So my name is Tessa, and I guess my story starts right at the beginning on my parents' farm. So I was born and raised on a farm in North Yorkshire, which is a place in the northeast of the UK. And I lived there for the first 20 years of my life. So I was brought up working really, really hard, learning to be incredibly resourceful and definitely, you know, attempting to live at one with nature. Mm-hmm. I then went away to university and then went to London and pursued a fairly classic corporate career. And in many ways sort of abandoned, ran away from a lot of my kind of roots and origins. And I spent about 15 years working in the city and spent a little bit of time in California. So I did my MBA at Stanford Business School, but I founded Olio, the world's first neighbor-to-neighbor food sharing app, about 5 years ago. And now I've really kind of come full circle back to my origins and combining, I guess, my upbringing with everything I've learned through the business world.
Oh, I love that. That's so cool. Have that full circle is sometimes really satisfying for people to be able to realize that something that they've been passionate about or cared about so strongly all along is where they're meant to be.
Yeah.
So what is Olio and how does it work?
So Olio is an app that exists to tackle the terrible problem of food waste, but also waste more broadly in the home. And how it works is you snap a photo of any spare food or other household items you might have to add them to the app. Neighbours living nearby then receive an alert letting them know that something new has been added near them. They can then browse the listings, request what they want, and pop around and pick it up. And it really is as easy as that. So it's hyper-local. So it's not about driving great distances to pick stuff up. It's about connecting people who live in the same community to share the world's most precious resources to make sure that they're used rather than tossed in the bin. Because we think it's crazy that we sort of live in our little homes, sort of stacked on top of each other and beside each other, and someone in one household is throwing something away or it's gathering dust on the shelf. Meanwhile, someone three or five doors down would really love to have that item. Mm-hmm. They don't know it's there and available, and so they're perhaps buying it brand new, and that just makes no sense at all. So we're all about connecting local communities to share. Yeah, everything on Olio is given away for free, so there's kind of no strings attached, no expectation. It's really just about giving it away, and what our users tell us is that it feels amazing to give. It feels amazing to give something of value to someone else who really wants it or possibly even needs it, and to give something a second life and to give it a second home.
That's wonderful. It's almost like better than thinking of, I'm going to give a Christmas or a birthday present to a friend. What would I like to give them? And putting lots of thought into a gift, and maybe they like it, maybe they don't. This is a different kind of gift giving where somebody comes to your door with like, yes, I want that specific thing that you're offering. And you're like, thank you for taking this off of my hands. What a different kind of gift giving experience. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely that enormous sense of relief, actually, on the part of this person who's giving something away, that something is not having to end up in the bin or is not sort of cluttering up your home anymore. And so you do feel incredibly thankful to your neighbours who pop around and pick something up from you.
It would be so satisfying. That's great. So you were talking about your upbringing on the farm and then kind of becoming detached from that by working in the city. Is that what inspired you to want to develop this app? Like, what kind of food waste were you seeing when you were living in London and California?
The light bulb moment for Olio took place when I was living in Switzerland, actually, for work. And I was moving back to the UK. And on moving day, the removal men said to me that I had to throw away all of our uneaten food. And obviously, that is something I was not prepared to do. And so, much to their irritation, I stopped packing and instead packed up that food and my newborn baby and toddler at the time. And I set out onto the street to try and find someone to give this food to. And to cut a long story short, the person who I was hoping to be able to give the food to, for some bizarre reason, wasn't there that day. And so I got a bit over emotional about the fact that I've gone to all this effort, which for anyone who's got sort of young kids will appreciate how long it takes to get out of the house. So I've gone to all this effort to share this food. I'd failed. But I went back to my apartment and I did think about knocking on my neighbours' doors, but just realised that would take forever. They might not want what I want, what I had. It would just be awkward and inefficient. And so I was not to be defeated. And when the removal men weren't looking, I smuggled the non-perishable foods into the bottom of my packing boxes. And that was the point in time I thought, this is just ridiculous. There should be some way I can let people know who live near me that this food is going for free. Mm-hmm. And I knew there was an app for everything. And I could not believe that there wasn't an app where I could give away my food. And so that really was this seemingly inconsequential moment in my life that then just tipped my whole life trajectory in a totally different direction. Because when I realized I had that problem and that there wasn't a solution, it then made me start thinking, well, could I create that solution? And the first thing I did was to research the problem of food waste. And it was only really at that point that my eyes got open to the problem of food waste.
Yeah. And honestly, that is such a classic example for a lot of people to be able to look at for the first time. Oh my gosh, like I'm going to create a lot of garbage in moving and having all of this food that's going to go to waste. Like if I'm traveling a long distance to move, like you're moving countries, not even just like from one town to the next, and to have all of that food not be able to last in a cooler and be moved into your new fridge, like it's a huge eye-opener moment for a lot of people. And I appreciate that that was your light bulb moment, because I feel like that's very relatable for people.
Yeah. And what was really shocking, though, was when we did the research to see what the problem of food waste was like beyond my personal experience. And when I say we, I mean myself and my co-founder, Sasha. Mm-hmm. And what we discovered absolutely stunned and horrified us. So globally, a third of all the food we produce each year gets thrown away, which is worth over a trillion US dollars.
It's insane.
And the food that we throw away each year, by the way, sort of a quarter of that is all that would be required to feed all of the 800 million people who go to bed hungry every night in the world. So we throw away food at an enormous scale. We have widespread hunger. And then the real shock to us was to discover just how environmentally devastating food waste is, because I think food, it's a very natural organic thing, so it's very hard to believe that it can be so bad for the environment. But what we found is that if it were to be a country, food waste would be the third largest source of greenhouse gas emissions after the USA and China. And also recently, there's something called Project Drawdown, which is a collaborative piece of work by a couple of hundred of the world's leading climate change scientists. And they stack ranked the top 100 solutions to the climate crisis. And for a 2-degree warmed world, in position number one is reducing food waste.
Wow.
And that comes above solar power, above electric cars, above a plant-based diet. It literally is the single most powerful thing humanity can do to avoid catastrophic global heating is to reduce food waste.
That's amazing.
And then what we discovered is that in a country such as the UK, the US, Canada, sort of the Western world, half of all food waste takes place in the home. And so that enormous problem that we had just uncovered, it was really, really depressing, quite honestly, to discover that actually we are responsible for half of that problem. It's not sort of somebody else, it's us. It's us in our homes. And I think that's the big story that's not yet been told about food waste.
Yeah, honestly, a lot of the time that people think of food waste, they're thinking of, oh yeah, the grocery stores, they throw out food all the time, or restaurants, a buffet would throw out all that food left over at the end of the day. Restaurants are wasteful. Those are the people that are causing the problem. But you're right, everybody's contributing to this problem and everybody is capable of making change.
So it's a simple maths problem. And so it's really counterintuitive, by the way, to realize that we're such a big part of this problem. Most people assume, exactly as you said, it must be the retail stores, it must be the restaurants. but this is using UK data. But in the UK, we have 28 million households that are throwing away approximately 20% of their weekly shop. And by the way, the data in the US is sort of even worse in terms of the amount of food waste per capita in the home. So we have 28 million households throwing away 20% of the weekly shop, in contrast to 10 or 15,000 supermarkets that throw away half a percentage point. And so that's why we're such a big problem. And that sort of numbers even applies down to an individual item of food. So let's take bananas, for example. Someone is in their home and they might toss out one or two brown bananas and they think, well, what's the big deal? It doesn't really make a difference. Right. It's just one or two brown bananas. But there's 28 million other households doing the same thing that week.
Oh my gosh.
How we get to the crazy scale of food waste in the home.
Yeah. There was one thing that I saw once where one of those internet memes that said, what's the big deal? It's just one plastic water bottle, said, you know, 6 billion people around the world. And then, it becomes a big deal. So looking at it from that perspective where if you feel like, well, it doesn't really matter because just in my household, I'm just throwing out this one thing. And then you just have to remind yourself that, that's being said in every household in your town, in your city, in your country. It's crazy. So it's a huge problem. And so I love that you've brought this app into play because it's helping us go forwards towards a very community-focused, locally-focused solution. Localized this problem of food waste and with your app, and you've been able to make it actionable for people because I feel like this is a hugely overwhelming problem. And we hear all these statistics of all of this food going to waste, that like bread is the most wasted food around the world and all of these different statistics. And it just breaks your heart. But then you're like, but what can I do? And there we go. That's where apps like Olio come in, and you can start to get to know your neighbors and start to share food. I think that's just so important.
Yeah, and I think what's really powerful about Olio is just how strong the demand for this spare food is. So a lot of people might think, well, is anyone really going to want these 2 liters bread? And the answer is yes, absolutely they will. So half of all the food added to the app is requested in under 1 hour.
Wow.
So our biggest challenge is actually just encouraging people to take that leap of faith, to give it a try, to open up their cupboards, to look at what's in there that's sort of unloved, lurking at the back, or open their fridges or freezers, and to share it with a neighbour instead. And once you've done that and you realise actually that was really easy, that was fun, it felt great, it then becomes very hard to go back to throwing away good food.
Good. That's amazing. And taking that leap of faith, I think, is going to be, you know, a challenge for people too, to be like, oh, like there's just a few slices of bread left and they're getting kind of stale. Like, I don't need them. I was just going to throw them out. Yeah, that must be really hard.
But your neighbor would be thinking, that would make great breadcrumbs. I could make croutons.
Yeah.
Perhaps they might have a pet that might want it. Mm-hmm. You never know.
Or even a compost pile. And that's something that, like, I don't know if it's covered on Olio. There's another app that I talk about on this podcast a lot called Share Waste, and that is similar. Bob has food scraps, Alice has chickens, and, like, you know, they're able to just give the food where it needs to be in order to keep it out of the landfill and emitting those greenhouse gases. So does Olio cover that?
We feel quite strongly, though, that composting should really be seen as a measure of last resort.
Sure, yeah.
Because I think it's too easy to think, oh, I've done the right thing, I've done the green thing, I've done the environmentally friendly thing, I've composted this food. But 90% of the carbon footprint of food takes place prior to it reaching your home. So, for example, a landmass larger than China is used every year to grow food that is never eaten. That is land that has been deforested, soil that has been degraded, species that have been driven to extinction, indigenous populations that have been displaced. A quarter of humanity's fresh water is used to grow food that is never eaten. So, yes, composting that food is better than it ending up in landfill, but even better is to make sure that food is eaten. so that all of those resources that went to the production of that food are not wasted.
I'm just having that moment of the same moment that I had years ago when I was like, oh, recycling is just a band-aid. It's not like recycling isn't the answer.
We're not going to recycle our way out of this problem.
Yeah, we're not
going to compost our way out of this problem.
Wow. Yeah. And so the answer is sharing the wealth and redistributing all of this food wealth that we have.
Yeah. I mean, so we've obviously thought very long and hard about the problem of food waste and why does it happen in the home and why is it happening now? Because food waste is a really modern phenomenon.
Right.
And actually, if you look back at humanity, we have spent thousands and thousands and thousands of years evolving as a species. And we've been really unique in terms of how we've done that because we have shared our food. And that has been, if you talk to any kind of social anthropologist, that's been a critical success factor in our evolution as a species. And so what is unusual is the past 20, 30, 40 years when we've been wasting food because we have had millennia of sharing food. And the reason why we waste food now is not because people enjoy throwing food in the bin. They don't. They hate it. If you talk to anyone about food waste, most people say they hate throwing away food. But the reason why we do it is because we don't have anyone to give our food to. And so that's the problem. We are not connected with our local communities. We're not connected with our neighbors in the way that we always used to be.
Wow. And you're right. It's if you were to think about going up to the neighbor that maybe you've talked to over the fence or maybe you've talked to in the hallway and knocking on their door and saying, hey, do you want my leftover takeout before I throw it out? That's kind of an awkward conversation because we don't have.
Right?
Yeah, it feels weird because you're not connected with each other anymore. Yeah. But if there was that connection, if you had that relationship ongoing of just, wow, sharing things.
But what Olio does is it avoids you having to have that awkward conversation because that person might not want your takeout, right? You know, because we all have very individual preferences in terms of the type of food we like and what we need.
Yeah.
But what Olio does is it creates a safe space where you can say what you've got available to give away, and then whoever wants it can request it and pop around and pick it up. And that turns what, you know, could have been something very awkward into something really, really just delightful because you know that who's coming to pick it up is someone who really wants what you're giving away.
Are you able to just walk me through the app and give us a layout of what it looks like and what it's like to post something or ask for something?
Yes, so we've got a couple of sections to the app. So the first section that you see when you arrive is called listings, and that then is separated into food section and a non-food section. So people are using Olio to give away things such as toiletries or cleaning products or cosmetics or packing boxes or kitchen appliances, books, clothes, toys. These are things that they don't want to sell. They don't want to ship halfway across the country. They just want out of their home. And it only really makes sense for a neighbor to pop across the road and pick it up. So we've got the listing section, which is all about giving stuff away for free. We have then got the forum, which is really the community section of the app, and we've got a number of subsections within that, so recipes and zero waste and sharing lovely stories about people's Olio experience. And that's generally a really uplifting part of the community and also where a lot of information sharing takes place. So people go on there saying, I'm trying to get rid of this source of plastic in my life. Can anyone make any recommendations? Or I've got this surplus or leftover. What can I do with it so it doesn't go to waste? And then brand new, launching today, which I'm extremely excited about, is a new section called Goals. And that is essentially kind of a Tinder style user interface where you can swipe right to accept, left to maybe later, a whole series of goals that will enable you to lead an increasingly zero waste and sustainable lifestyle.
Cool.
And so that ranges from really simple stuff like swapping your plastic toothbrush for a bamboo toothbrush, all the way through to switching your energy provider, moving your pension, and everything in between. And there are kind of points, and coming soon there'll be levels. And really what we've done is we've taken the hard work out of trying to find all of those sustainable swaps and put it into a really fun, easy to use section in the app.
What a fun thing for the rest of Plastic Free July. So it'll be the last week of Plastic Free July. And that is so exciting to have another just list of ways that you can take action that's inspiring people. Like, we have a couple other apps that we recommend all the time, kind of like there's one called Random Acts of Green that's just a list of things that you can do and you get green points if you do them, things like that, where you're just like, okay, here's the list of all the things and I will pick this one today and that one tomorrow and this one next week, and you could just feel really inspired when you don't have to do all the research and do all the thinking yourself.
Exactly. That's what we've sort of tried to do, because I've been on a personal journey with my family for kind of 3 or 4 years now of trying to lead an increasingly zero waste lifestyle. And at the beginning, it was just overwhelming. I was open my fridge. Oh my gosh, my heart would sink. Open the cupboard under the sink, my heart would sink. Go to the bathroom, my heart would sink. And I was like, where do I start? I've just sort of found an approach of just picking one thing I want to solve each week and then doing all the research, figuring it out, trying and experimenting. And essentially, we've kind of taken all of that learning and experience plus that of the broader Olio team, and we've put it into this goals section of the app. So in total, I think we've got about kind of 200 of these goals that you can do, but you start off just with 30 there, and then sort of each week thereafter we release additional goals for you, so you're not overwhelmed with everything that you need to do at the beginning. You can just kind of slowly work your way through stuff, pop it onto your to-do list, and then mark when you've done it.
I love that. So how does it increase your list of goals? Like, is it as you kind of work your way through the ones there, it'll add new ones, or?
Yeah, so basically, when you first arrive in the app, there are 30 goals there, and you right swipe on the ones you want to pop onto your to-do list. We've limited it so you can just put 3 things on your to-do list at any one point in time.
Wow, yeah.
Because, you know, we all know what it's like. You can put a ton of stuff on your to-do list and nothing gets done, and it can feel overwhelming.
Yeah.
And or you feel like you've sort of done it just by putting it on your to-do list. So you can only put 3 things on your to-do list at any one point in time. And on each goal, there's information about kind of more reading around that topic. There's links to, if there are lots of different types of goals. So there are things that involve doing things or mending stuff or keeping stuff or buying stuff, and where there's buying stuff, then we'll give anywhere between sort of 3 and 5 recommendations of products that we've used and that we love. And so once you've completed a goal, you can mark that you completed it, and then you can put more goals onto your to-do list. And so when you first arrive, there'll be 30, and then every 7 days you'll get another 5 goals released for you to review and to add into your sort of pack.
I like that so much. That is really satisfying to have a list to refer to and to work towards. And, you know, we all like the reward system.
And you get points. I should say you get points.
Oh,
as
great.
Well.
Yeah.
And so stuff that's kind of easier to do, stuff that's lower impact really is sort of lower points. And then stuff that's bigger impact has more points.
Wow.
And then in a couple of weeks' time, we'll be launching levels as well. So you can kind of work your way through the levels.
That's very fun. What's the top level? What's the highest it'll get to?
To be honest, we're still working through that as we speak. So I don't want to kind of disclose that until we launch it.
That's totally fine. I was just going to say, I want to be like level 20.
Totally.
Zero waster. Also, in your app, you have a way that you've calculated water and food being saved. Is that just like my personal action? You can also see it maybe for your neighborhood. Can you tell me a bit about that?
We think it's really important to show people the impact they're having because it is so enormous.
Yeah.
And so every time you successfully give away a food listing, then that adds to your tally in terms of the number of people you've shared with, the number of portions of food you've given away, the amount of water that you've saved, and also we're able to calculate for people the number of car miles that have been taken off the road as well.
Wow.
And so what we do is we've worked with government bodies to get the right data in terms of the number of litres of water for a typical kilogram of food waste, and also the CO2 emissions for a typical kilo of food waste. And so we have the data in the app, and then also once a month we email you your impact report, which shows kind of how well you've done that month and then what your cumulative impact is. And it's amazing just how quickly that impact adds up. So if we take Olio as a whole, we have had 5.5 million portions of food shared so far.
Wow.
And the environmental impact of that in terms of equivalent car miles that we've taken off the road is 16 million car miles. And then we have also saved 830 million litres of water.
Wow. That's amazing.
And we have had 2 million doorstep connections. So that's sort of neighbour-to-neighbour interactions. And
cool.
I think that's the other really important thing about what we're trying to do is it's not just about trying to live more sustainably and help the planet. It's also about the social side of that and the community side of that and the relationships that are being built and formed, which are just unbelievably powerful.
And so necessary. Community resiliency. Like, if you don't know your neighbors, but each person is working hard to save the planet individually, like, you're still going to need each other. You can't do it all. And so if you're able to connect with people and build resiliency and build friendships and relationships and just helping each other out and being good people, like, that is totally going to help the planet as much as reducing your food waste.
It does. And I've got two great examples of that,
one of
which someone posted about in the forum section of the app this weekend. So a group of Olio users down in the southwest of the UK have got together and they have been sort of picking up surplus food from local businesses, and they have created a company to make jam.
Whoa.
And they've used kind of all the surplus fruit that they've been collecting via the app to make this jam, which is just absolutely incredible. And they're now kind of giving this jam away for free via the app to the local community.
That's awesome.
So it just works on so many levels. And then we've been told so far about two community gardens that have been formed. So one I remember was a lady who had said that she had a big garden, but she wasn't an especially keen gardener. And through her neighbours that she'd met via Olio, they turned her garden into a community garden. So they were growing fruit and veg. And then the surplus from that, they shared back out again with the wider community via the app.
Oh, so good.
Those are the sorts of things that certainly when Sasha and I were launching Olio, we could never have dreamt that they would happen. But that's the sort of magic that happens when you just connect people who live in the same community and who share a similar outlook on life.
Absolute magic. I think that's so good. Yeah, anytime you had a surplus in your garden and stuff, like I've already had plans to put out all my pumpkins and squash, anything that I don't think that I can store away from my garden, just out in like a crate at the end of the driveway for friends to take or anybody to take. But to be able to reach out and put it out there for people who are specifically looking for those things through the Olio app, I think that's really exciting. Similar to what we're talking about, there's something called littlefreepantry.org. Have you heard of that at all?
I hadn't, but I looked online before our call, and so I think I've got a good idea of roughly how it works.
Yeah, and it's this grassroots thing where you have a little, basically like a little box on a stand, kind of like a mailbox almost, but with a larger door at the front, and you can just leave things. It's kind of a take what you need and give what you can system. That's another nice thing that is similar to what Olio is doing, is that it's a little bit more anonymous. You don't have to go around knocking at your neighbor's doors saying, like, do you have some canned goods that you can spare so that I can eat tonight? You can just kind of approach these spaces that are set up in the community that you can just help yourself if you need anything that's in there, if you have a surplus and you don't know what to do with it, and if it's non-perishable, because obviously Olio goes beyond that and you can trade fresh produce, you can do all kinds of things.
Yeah.
But yeah, non-perishable things can be just left in these pantries, and people, it's a constant circulation. I have not gone by 2 days in a row and seen the same stuff inside the pantry that's near my house. So things like that, like, are building community health, right? Like you're reaching out and providing for each other or being provided for and connecting not necessarily in person, but in a way that is helping fight food insecurity in all kinds of homes.
Yeah, I think it's a brilliant initiative. There's something similar in the UK called the Community Fridge.
Oh, great.
Although that is refrigerated, so that does restrict it a little bit more. But I think all of these community-oriented mm-hmm. initiatives are brilliant, and they just help build kind of our local resilience, I guess, if you like. But the thing that I really like about these initiatives, which they share in common with Olio, is the lack of stigma that's associated with using them.
Yeah.
And so what we hear the whole time from people who use Olio who are going through a difficult patch in their life is that they don't have to go to their doctor to mm-hmm. get a chit. There's no quotas, there's no forms like there are in terms of accessing food via food banks. With Olio, you're just like anybody else.
Amazing.
And you can request whatever you see and you would like. Plus, you can access fresh fruit and veg and a wide variety of food, but most importantly, with no stigma. And I think that's just really, really important that people can use the little free pantry, use something like Olio, with dignity.
I love that. That is probably the most exciting thing about this whole conversation, because there is such a big stigma and it doesn't need to be there. So if you're listening to this and you're really feeling strongly about sharing this app with people, share it with the people who are running your local youth emergency shelters, any shelters, because people who are only in there for, you know, temporary housing, if they're just in unstable housing and need access to food, they've got to be tired of asking for resources from people. And if it's just stigma free, if you're able to just use an app that you already have access to.
Yeah, and what we see over and over and over again is people coming onto the forum and saying how Olio really helped save them in their sort of darkest hours and the most difficult times. And now things have picked up for them and they're now in a position to be giving back themselves.
Wow.
And that's just phenomenal, just seeing that kind of full circle complete itself. And again, it's not just about the app and the food and other items that are being shared, it's also the relationships that are being formed and built.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had an incredible story, this was probably about 18 months ago now, where someone who was rough sleeping managed to pick up some food via the Olio app, and he met the person who was obviously kind of giving the food away. They had a conversation, and to cut a long story short, the Olio helped this guy off the streets into accommodation. He was then able to get a job, and he's now kind of back on his feet.
Wow.
And that's what the power of community is all about at its very best.
That is such a great story. I am very thankful that you've shared that with us. That's awesome. So on that note, though, I want to ask about, so there's also volunteers that work with Olio, I believe, that are connecting food businesses with people who need food.
Yes, so we now have approximately 10,000 trained volunteers. They're called Food Waste Heroes. And what we do is we match those volunteers with their local business. That could be a supermarket or a cafe or a deli or an events venue, and they provide a service to that business whereby they will collect the unsold or unserved food at the end of the day. They take it home, they add it to the app. Within minutes, the neighbors are requesting it, and minutes later, the neighbors are popping around to pick that food up. And again, this is hyper local. It's about someone who lives right by that store collecting and redistributing that food. And so, as a result of just the incredible work of these volunteers, that food goes from being essentially considered a waste stream in the store to instead, 1 to 2 hours later, it's been fully redistributed into multiple homes in the local community.
Wow.
And it's just an incredibly powerful program. And what's great is that we have provided the ability for everybody to follow our step-by-step guide about how to sign up your local supermarket or your local bakery.
Great.
And of course, there's lots of food safety regulation and processes and procedures that sit behind that. So we've got a really, really robust food safety management system. So all of our volunteers have to take online training, and we have all the appropriate checks and measures in place to ensure that everything is being collected and redistributed safely.
That's amazing.
So it's really incredible. And especially during COVID, we've seen these volunteers sort of spring into action, because obviously thousands of locations were shutting across the country. There was enormous amounts of food that was at risk of going to waste. And thanks to our volunteers, we redistributed, sort of in the 30 days post-lockdown, double the amount of food that we had redistributed in the previous 30 days.
Holy, wow. Oh, I love that. And I saw things like that happening in my own local food community where businesses just needed to get rid of it because it wasn't going to be used. And so connecting all of those people in such a hard time was such a valuable thing. I love that that was something that you were able to document with your app too, like record that kind of data to know that like there's a need for food to be redistributed and there's a way of measuring that.
Yeah.
Has there been an increase in maybe Olio users or people using the zero waste side of the app in order to kind of learn some new skills or habits during the months of COVID?
Yeah, so COVID, as tragic as it has been for so many people and for humanity more broadly, has had a silver lining, and that has been that people are wasting food less. So some research came out in the UK which showed that 48% of people say that they're now wasting less food.
Wow.
And over 50% of people say that they are now valuing food more. And I think that's for a really simple reason, which is that you only need to see a few photographs or to actually experience it of empty supermarket shelves to realize just how precious food is. Because I think that for too long, too many people have not recognized how precious food is. We've overlooked the fact that it is actually our life source.
Yeah.
And without it, we die. And so we've had a real sort of collective awakening to the importance and the value of food. And so as a result of that, we have seen enormous uplift in neighbour-to-neighbour sharing post-COVID, best sort of summarised in the fact that we have grown more in the past 5 weeks than we did in the previous 5 years.
Wow.
And that's not only, I think it's partly because we're valuing food more, I think it's also because we are recognising the power of community, and we have had laid bare the horrific inequalities that exist in our society.
Yeah.
And I think many people were not aware of that. And that awareness has now helped trigger this desire. Plus, coupled with the fact that we've been in lockdown, has made people kind of really reevaluate what all the stuff they have in their life that they perhaps don't need and that a neighbour living in their community does need. And so we have seen this massive outpouring of sharing as a result of COVID.
It's incredible. And your visual of the empty grocery store shelves, I just want to compare that for people. If you're wondering whether or not you should get on board with Olio, I just want to compare that visual with looking in your cupboard and seeing, or in your fridge and seeing that kind of bareness there, and feeling that anxiety of not knowing like when your food is going to like be replenished, looking at your own surplus or abundance if you have it, and really consider sharing with the people around you, either through Olio or through a free pantry or a food bank, whatever it is that you have access to.
And I think it's really important. I believe quite a lot of your listeners are in the US.
Yes. Yeah.
And so traditionally or historically, the US has had about 40 million people living in food poverty. And the current data is suggesting that that is now exceeding 50 million people living in food poverty, wondering where their next meal is coming from, wondering how they're going to feed their children that evening. And so if you do have surplus, and actually it doesn't have to be just food, there are plenty of non-food items as well that people desperately need. And so if you can share your spare, then I think that's just something amazing that you can do for your local community. Whilst the Olio app was originated in the UK, a quarter of all the sharing that's taking place every week is taking place outside of the UK.
Yeah.
And we've had items successfully shared in 52 countries so far, including the US and Canada, Mexico, Singapore, New Zealand, Sweden. And how that has been achieved is thanks to our 50,000 ambassadors. So these are people who are really passionate about the Olio mission, what we stand for. They believe, like us, it's just common sense that we should share our spare with a neighbour rather than toss it in the bin. And so we provide our ambassadors with all the tools that they need to get Olio kickstarted in their local community. And so if anyone is interested in being part of that, then please do check out our website, or within the app itself, you can find plenty of calls to action to encourage you to become an ambassador to help spread the word.
Absolutely. Everyone should be looking into that. If they're interested in starting or boosting the sharing economy in their local area, then yeah, oh my gosh, what a great system. Especially because apps are just so accessible for a lot of people. I know that there is still a privilege that comes with having a phone or a device that can handle apps, but at the same time, that is still, even in lower income areas, that is still something that is really accessible to people, is having access to apps.
Yeah, it is. And that's a really important point, actually. So first of all, I should say, even if you don't have a smartphone, Olio is available to be used online on our web app, which you can access via our website. So we've tried to make it as accessible as we possibly can, given it's a digital product. But the thing to remember is that even in super low-income households, mobile phone penetration is incredibly high.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so we work very closely with food banks, for example, and they tell us that digital penetration is not the problem there, and that an app is a great solution for their end users.
I'm so happy to hear that. Yeah, and I think that just a reminder that it is so accessible, and that's a great entry point for a lot of people to just share this information, to talk about sharing economies with just anybody that you know, so that if there's somebody who's too shy to, or too feeling stigmatized to talk about it in public with people, that maybe they are food insecure or are in need of supplementation, then they can know that this exists and feel more confident to kind of do that awkward transaction-free kind of stuff through the app. Do you have any tips for people who would like to continue their new sustainable skills or practices that they've gained during COVID as we move forward in the future?
Well, I think everybody's probably been on their own journey during COVID. So I can only talk to my own experience. So one of the things that I've found really helpful in terms of enabling us to lead a more planet-friendly, as we call it, life, is I've, for the first time in my life, started batch cooking.
Oh, great.
And so I do that on the weekends, and it achieves a couple of things for me in terms of, so I'm only ever batch cooking vegan or vegetarian food, and that's a really, really easy way for us to dramatically reduce our meat consumption as a family. And whereas before, when we were trying to sort of come up with vegan meals at the end of the day, when we were tired on a Tuesday night, it was really hard to make it happen.
Yeah.
But now me kind of batch cooking stuff on the weekend has been really effective in that. And also it is a great way to make sure that kind of at the end of the week, I've used up all the stuff that we sort of have left over,
or some
of the veg that's looking like it needs, you know, looking a bit sorry for itself. So I definitely recommend experimenting with batch cooking. And then, you know, of course, kind of shameless pitch, but I really do think checking out the Olio goals section is just going to be a really fun, easy way to help you kind of just step by step continue that journey to lead a more sustainable life.
I think that's going to be so much fun. I'm really excited to look through that section. We're running currently for Plastic Free July something called Eco Bingo. So it's basically a similar list of goals or different achievements that you can check off and on a bingo card and win prizes each week. So things like that, things like the Olio goals, random acts of green, this eco bingo, there's so many different lists that people can just kind of pull from. But I like that Olio only gives you a few at a time so you don't get overwhelmed, because people can burn out just far too quickly. Who is inspiring you, or is there anyone inspiring you in the low waste or zero waste community that you'd like other people to know about?
I think the person who's had most impact on me is Bea Johnson.
Oh, great. Yeah.
So she's written the sort of seminal book, A Zero Waste Home, who I'm sure most of your audience will be familiar with. I once had the great pleasure of meeting her and hearing her talk. And that just sort of really opened my eyes to both the problem of waste, but also just how sort of creative you can get when trying to solve it. But the reality, I think, is I don't tend to follow that many people in the space because I'm a really big believer in the fact that there isn't a single way to do this. And what's right for me and my family might not be right for you. And there should be no judgment applied so long as everybody is trying to do the best that they can within their means and their lifestyle. Then that, I think, is the most important thing. And so as a result of that, I've just tended to take an approach that's really been driven by kind of what's the problem in front of me and my family right now, and then do lots of Google research to figure out how to solve that problem. And as a result of that, I will come across the work of other people. So for example, I'm wanting to not buy toner in a plastic bottle, and I'll research and I'll come across just some great recipes that people have already created before me for facial toner.
Oh, great. So yeah, that's awesome.
That's my approach.
Mm-hmm. Whatever way you can approach it, then that's the way that you should go. And that if you can't do it this exact way that this person's doing it, don't worry about it. Do it a different way, because there's so many billions of ways to approach zero waste that I think that it's valuable to be reminded of that every once in a while. So where can people go to learn more about the app and where they can download it?
If you want to find out more about Olio, then you can go to the App Store or Google Play and just search for Olio. So it's OLIO. Or you can go to our website, which is olioex.com. And on social media, our handle is @olio_ex.
Perfect. That's so great. Thank you so much, Tessa, for talking with me today. I had a really great time chatting about
of
these different ways. Yeah, it was so good. And it went beyond ending food waste for me. It really was powerful to talk about how we can address food insecurity with an app like Olio. So thank you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for providing us with the opportunity to share our story. I really appreciate it.
Thanks again for listening, everyone. If you want to learn more about Olio, you can download the app or go to their website, olioex.com. You can also find them on Instagram @olio_ex. If you enjoyed today's episode, we have quite a few on the topics of sharing economies and ending food waste, but to name some of my favorites, we have episode 40, Buy Nothing Project, episode 52, The Avoidable Crisis of Food Waste, and episode 85, Flipping Curb Fines. You can find all of those and more in our archives wherever you get your podcasts. And last week's winner of Eco Bingo is Victoria La Rochelle. Well done, Victoria. There is still 1 week to go, so be sure to send in your bingo cards or tag me on social media to enter. If you are enjoying the podcast and the work that I do, I would love your support in any of the following ways. Number one, you could leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. Those mean a lot and help the podcast be seen by those looking for this kind of content. Number two, you could send me an email at practicallyzerowaste@gmail.com or find me on Instagram. I love hearing from you and how you're doing. Or number three, you can buy me a virtual cup of coffee over at coffee.com/ElspethCallahan. Every dollar helps keep the LED lights on and the podcast coming over here. That's all for now. Good luck with the rest of Plastic Free July, everyone. I hope you get some time to relax and enjoy something creative this week. Have a great week, everyone, and talk to you soon.